Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Moon Magic with Jeanette and David Ewing.
Hello.
And,
hi.
Hello.
And we've been looking at various interpretations of the differences between amulets and talismans and charms. And they might be the same as or different from what you may have learned, or it might be something different. And there does seem to be some degree of overlap with the differences between the two.
Should we talk about those?
Yes, we're going to talk about those. And the first question I usually ask people when we're teaching workshops about things are what your personal experiences are with this. And, you know, in internet radio land, we have, you know, we don't have the luxury of showing people things unless we chose to live stream.
Yeah.
But many of you probably have amulets and talismans that you've been using for many purposes over the years, or maybe only a specific purpose for a specific thing. And the first is probably one of the most simple that I see people wearing. And that is some sort of pendant that is a particular symbol. And that symbol, that thing, is in and of itself imbued with certain powers because of that object.
Yep.
Like the Ankh or the Eye of Horus. Another one that is very popular that you see all the time. The little eye thing.
Oh, yeah.
The symbol to ward off the evil eye.
Uh-huh.
You see it all over the place. I've seen it sold many different places, not just pagan and New Agey type shops. So it's one of the most common, and it's been around for quite a long time. Some form of it has been around for probably thousands of years. Another thing that I see people wearing often is like a simple stone on a pendant.
Yeah.
It might have something like a hole in it, or it might be wrapped, or it might be in one of those little cage thingies that you see.
Or it might be part of another piece of jewelry, like a pendant or something.
Yeah, or part of another piece of jewelry.
Yeah.
And the amulet is that stone that has particular powers. Mm-hmm. And so there's differences in in what different authors will say is an amulet or an amulet can be made of versus a talisman. Usually an amulet is defined as such because it has power in and of itself, like a particular symbol, or a stone that has inherent supernatural powers or magical powers attributed to it. It can have, it can also be made out of other things that are natural, like a horn or a claw.
Mm-hmm.
But what were you talking about at the beginning of the hour? What are the differences between an amulet and a talisman with regards to what they do?
Yeah, so typically the definition, the difference between them is an amulet is something that would bring luck or protection, while a talisman gives this power to the wearer, to the person wearing it.
Or carrying it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like an amulet will ward off things, while a talisman empowers.
Yeah.
That's one of the ideas, too, yeah. So, that's, they would get those, it's a very fine difference in definition between the two. And I think most people use the words amulet and talismans interchangeably because it's a very, it can be kind of a fine distinction between the two things when you're talking about something. So I think it's, but knowing the difference between being able to speak of it is, you know, a good idea to be able to like differentiate between the two when you're talking to others and shopping or looking for something or defining something in particular.
Right, and
yeah,
depending on what you need, what your need is.
Yeah.
I do think it's interesting though that many books talk about amulets as being something that is primarily protective or
yeah,
can be for good luck or wards off something harmful.
Basically, right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, a talisman provides power and energy and other benefits that are... So, an amulet wards off, it protects, it does its, it's more of an external thing, I guess, externally directed, probably, in that case.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
The talisman is more internally directed by giving, by helping to benefit you with what, you know, helping
something
you
that
with
you
something.
Need.
Yeah.
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 And?
Like wearing, an eagle's claw talisman to give you strength for something.
Right.
You know, or whatever, yeah.
Or on the other side of that, if it's an amulet, wearing the amulet of the eye to ward off
yeah.
the evil eye.
Right. Right.
Or the Eye of Horus or the Ankh. Or one of these other really old
uh-huh.
symbols that have been around for hundreds or thousands of years.
Yeah.
And if we're talking about stones, something that is thought to be imbued with its own power that you don't really have to do anything with because the stone in and of itself has power, then when we're talking about things that are protective in nature or that ward off harmful energy, and there's a host of stones that do that.
Yep.
Let's see. One of them is jet.
Yeah.
You've got obsidian. What else? Jet, obsidian, hematite.
Mm-hmm.
Red jasper.
Yeah.
Bloodstone. carnelian can have some protective qualities. Tiger's eye, very high up on that list. So then what makes it different when you start talking about talismans? I think what makes it different, and one of the big things I see throughout is that the amulets work by themselves by virtue of their intrinsic powers.
Yeah.
But then talismans are the result of human intervention. And also what we had talked about was the talisman is going to be internally directed.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to give you power of some sort. So, for example, a talisman would then be used to, let's say, give you strength.
Okay.
Bring the wearer good luck. Maybe help you with memory. Help you with maybe finding a new job.
Right, that would be a talisman.
That would be talismans. Healing.
Yeah.
You could also, again, there's that fine distinction with wearing an amulet to ward off personal harm.
Yeah.
Which could also include harm from getting sick. But then the talisman would be something to aid in bringing good health or help to overcome illness, etc., etc. And we see this all over the place. So there, again, so if you start with something as simple as the stone of some sort, you do have stones that do also work, and I think can also work with as a talisman. The other big difference is that while an amulet has intrinsic powers, then the talisman is something that you charge.
Yeah.
For a very particular purpose.
Right.
You have, so I think most of the time, while people probably do use amulets, if you are making something or you are adapting something, or even if you use a stone and carry it, when you charge it for a particular purpose,
yep.
Because we, if you work with stones and crystals at all, then you would know that there are multiple uses for a given stone.
Yes.
For example, I just mentioned Tiger's Eye. Tiger's Eye is protective. It is associated with also with wealth and money, with luck. Some people will carry a piece of Tiger's Eye with them. Or have it maybe on their altar as a talisman to aid in increasing prosperity. And that can be in, you know, a
right.
bunch of different ways.
Right.
We've got, here's another one, here's an example. The blue stone, it's one of the spheres that we have.
Oh, yeah, sodalite.
Sodalite is good for healing,
uh-huh.
So increasing, I think, physical healing, probably emotional healing.
Uh-huh.
It's good for creating a calm and peaceful atmosphere in your home. Could probably also be good for creating a calm and peaceful atmosphere in your place of work or in any situation where there's been maybe chaos or just discordant energy. And it's associated with water, so it's also good for intuition and probably empathy and compassion. So you could take something as simple as the stone and charge it for one of those purposes, and it becomes a talisman. There's also the talismans that you can make. And so we talked about stones. The other, they can be natural or they can be man-made. And you can make talismans of a lot of different things. One of the books that we have that I've used off and on for years, and I don't remember, if this was one of the books that Joyce gave us a long time ago.
Could be.
My sister, who is younger than us, but had been practicing witchcraft for years before we started. The second edition is what we have, and this is a first printing of the second edition. From 1998.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
we've had it for a while.
And
which one is this? Crones?
The Crones Book of Charms and Spells. The author is Valerie Wirth, and I'm not sure if this thing is even in print anymore.
Right.
Honestly. It's a Llewellyn book. It was published by Llewellyn. This isn't the only book that has good practical knowledge. And while the Gonzalez book, Mijin Gonzalez Whipler, has a book, The Complete Book of Amulets and Talismans, a large chunk of the book talks about the uses of amulets and talismans from a historical or archaeological standpoint. And it's cool. It's interesting. But if I want to learn how to make stuff and do things, I want something that is straightforward. One of the things that you do see with a lot of talismans, and you can buy things pre-made and charge yourself, or you can make your own, is certain types of symbols. Some are more simplistic, some are more complicated, and do we have it in here?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are inscriptions of power that you can use to make talismans. Now, some of these symbols that Valerie Wirth has are fairly easy to draw.
Mm-hmm. Like the goddess symbol or a hand or there's a skull there for one.
For dividing lovers.
Yeah.
You draw a picture of a skull with like a the crescent moon enclosing the image of a skull, and on the other side you put this love the moon doth shrink to bone.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you would charge it. You know, you would empower it. There are talismans for beauty, to gain wealth, for stability, for good fortune. And while this is an example of a symbol, a drawing, an image that you would put on one side of a talisman and then words on another, I think this is only just, this is one symbol.
Yeah.
There are a host of other symbols that can be used.
Mm-hmm.
For amulets that can be worn, interestingly, In this book, she talks about inscribing amulets. So while a talisman is something you carry, an amulet is something you wear, but in this book,
it can be either. Yeah.
She has inscriptions that you can put on on amulets,
yeah.
Which I find is interesting because other people don't talk about that.
Right.
They talk about the
right.
amulet being something that has its own intrinsic power, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
So you may be wearing, depending on what your specific definition is in philosophy, you could wear an amulet that's inscribed, or you're
mm-hmm.
utilizing this as a talisman, but you are putting it around your neck. And for this one, there are different symbols, different images, but what makes it different is that the inscription, the words, are in Latin.
Yeah.
You see a lot of symbols that come from the Keys of Solomon that a lot of people would probably associate these with something that comes from the Golden Dawn, and they do have that. Some of the roots of that tradition do draw from from the Keys of Solomon.
Yeah.
So they do have rather complicated symbology. There are also inscriptions where you incorporate runes.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think the terminology, the ideology around the use of something that is considered an amulet versus a talisman does still walk this very fine
yeah.
line.
Yeah.
So for this, you know, she's talking about inscribing amulets. Again, there's simple words and phrases that are on one side
mm-hmm.
of the thing that you are inscribing, and then some sort of symbol on the other. That's really, at its most basic, what we're talking about.
Right.
And I think you can use any number of different things. If you want to work with, let's say, a particular goddess and her particular attributes, and you want to carry something with you, you can create a talisman. Maybe have a general symbol of a goddess
mm-hmm.
that you either hand draw or my artisticness is not too great. So
yeah.
I've got stamps.
Yeah.
I've used stamps. I've made things out of clay where it'll have maybe two symbols. One symbol on one side, maybe another symbol on another. Or maybe just a word. You've probably seen things at various New Agey stores. Do I have one around here? I do.
Oh, a stone with the word engraved in it, yeah.
We see these all over the place.
Right. We especially see them at the Renaissance Fair.
Which is funny.
It is. It is. Because you'll have a stone, like this is a stone. This is,
It's aventurine.
Aventurine, with the word abundance engraved in it. So that would be a talisman to bring abundance into your life. And you would charge the stone, you would cleanse the stone, you would charge it, and maybe do a focused meditation or something with the stone as a focus, whatever, on abundance. abundance and bringing abundance into your life. So that would be a simple talisman, is a stone with of a certain type of stone that correlates to whatever it is that you're, you know, whatever, and maybe a word engraved on it like this is. This has abundance, so to bring abundance into life. Yeah, and we find these at most, you know, pagan-y, new-agey kind of stores or other rocks, you know, exhibitions and things, or stones,
yeah,
and things,
yeah,
or the Renaissance fairs, or online. Yeah, so.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's important for people to know that you can find something that has meaning, something as simple as this,
yeah,
that is a word like peace or meditation,
wow,
or
happiness
or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And you see them associated with different stones, and I guarantee you that when these are being mass-produced,
uh-huh,
it's a word that is etched in there, and maybe
filled with some paint.
Yeah, and a little gold paint or silver paint, or, you know, maybe that stone is associated with that thing. Maybe it's not. Maybe you're drawn to that stone because you're drawn to that color of that stone. And while I think there is plenty of power, that is part of the intrinsic power of stones of different types, it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
So if you find something and you're drawn to it and you like that, and then you look at it again, you keep going back to it, maybe that particular type of stone isn't exactly associated with that thing, technically speaking, but it has that word, so it becomes something powerful to you, and you charge it with, let's say it says peace, and you want it to be a little more specific. How about peaceful interactions between neighbors,
uh-huh,
or coworkers,
family?
You can charge it to make it more specific and carry it with you every day, or depending on the size of the stone,
mm-hmm,
you could use one of those little metal cagey things.
Uh-huh. And put it in a little wire cage thing.
Yeah, and wear it. Or you could keep it in your purse or your wallet, or keep it on your desk or on your altar or some other place that is sacred and meaningful, mm-hmm, to you in your house, or maybe near your front door, and you touch it every day before you leave. Any number of things. One thing in the Valerie Worth book, she talks about using little round pieces of wood.
Oh, yeah.
If you are crafty and you have the things to do it, like, what do you call it?
A saw, a hacksaw? Or
yeah,
a
or something.
Saw, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, you can make your own from a branch. You could, you know, be all technical and look up things on particular trees that have particular,
uh-huh,
magical associations.
Uh-huh.
Or it can be something that maybe you found in the woods and, wow, this, you know, piece of branch is a really nice size and diameter. Maybe I want to do things with it.
Or just go to the craft store and buy the little round pieces of wood at the craft store.
Because that's really easy, too.
Uh-huh.
And you can buy, like, a package of 8 or 10 for a few bucks. And you can buy them online, too. Or you can do what I did with
some of that poly whatever clay.
No, this isn't.
Oh, no, that's something else.
This is actual clay. It's the type of clay that you don't have to fire.
Oh, right.
Like molding craft clay or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
And what I did is I made a talisman. I have a stamp. It kind of turned out a little bit
weird.
A little weird.
Yeah.
It's a stamp that has a crescent moon and a pinnacle.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes, because they're not really designed for working with clay, they're designed for inks. So, you know, I stamped it, and then I painted it. And then on the other side, I've got some runes.
Uh-huh.
And
Tiwaz, and Hi, Kat.
T-Moz, and what are the other two?
And Swulu, the sun.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, the S, the lightning bolt.
Right.
And the arrow, and Iwas. Yeah, those are the three runes that are on here. Iwas, the yew tree, stability, strength.
Yep.
You know, Tiwas, honor, justice, leadership, and drawing a blank.
The S?
Oh, the sun, energy, health, success.
Yeah, success.
Yeah.
I associate it with success, and that's why I like to use it.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I did.
Yep.
I put three runes on one side, and I painted them, so they're in gold. And then I painted, so I let it dry good and hard for several days, and then I painted them the pinnacle with the moon white on one side, and then the runes, I painted them gold, and I painted the round piece of clay, like a dark, like a navy blue.
Uh-huh.
And because I have it, and because many pagans like sparkly stuff.
Little glitter.
I put the glitter spray on it.
Uh-huh.
And so now I have it. I like it. It's I've had it for a long time. I don't know how many years ago I made it. I don't even remember how many years ago. But this is a little talisman for me. And I use it on our little, our altar. So we have a lot of crap in our house. But we do have a lot of altar space type places.
Yeah.
That have a variety of different purposes. The big main altar is up against one wall of the living room down here, and it's got the big goddess and god statuary. It's got lots of spheres and different stones. The center is a big piece of cedar wood. It's thick. It's like, what, I don't know, probably 3 inches thick.
Yeah.
There's a deer skull with antlers.
Ancestor statues.
Yep.
Statuary.
Oh, yeah, my ancestor statues.
And different gods and goddess figures of from different cultures and things too, different types,
including our little stuffed Cocopelli that sits on the end,
uh-huh.
among other things.
So
that is the big altar. But then
on our main table, we have another altar set up, and that has that we do our rituals and stuff on, and that has a couple of different talismans on it. There's one over there too with the goddess symbol.
Yeah, it's just something that I wanted something simple. I've got the classic triple moon goddess on one side, and the classic god symbol that's the circle with kind of that U shape that looks like horns.
Horns.
On the other side.
Yeah.
Also useful because when you travel,
you carry with you for protection or whatever, and they don't and they're clay, so they don't set off. You know,
right.
Security doesn't get all weird.
Right.
About
so if you do things in a hotel room or what have you, then you have your little ready-made representation of God's God and goddess, and you have that represented.
Yeah.
Talismans are also
little animal figures.
Often, yeah.
Yeah.
And not everybody does this. Not everybody has this affinity or associations. But a lot of us who are connected to nature and want to try to increase or enhance our connections with nature often find ourselves drawn to certain animals.
Yep.
Maybe you call them a totem. Maybe you call them just an animal helper or an animal spirit helper or an animal spirit guide, what have you. But one thing that you do tend to see, again, in New Agey stores, pagan stores, and maybe just kind of other eclectic stores all over the place, are little figurines, and they can vary in size, of a variety of different animals. And I do like them. I've collected them for years. I've got one that is, I call this kind of a mountain lion panther. This is made out of tiger's eye.
Uh-huh.
I have a little coyote. I've got owl. I've got some...
different animals.
A bunch.
Yeah.
Wolf. I've got a little tiny crab.
Yeah.
Which is super cute. Little dolphin. Bears.
So these are little, different little talismans, and each animal brings a little something different to the game.
Right. So likewise, if you are looking to also charge up or be empowered by or connect with, these I think are good to use. You can keep them on your altar. You can carry them with you. You can carry them in a pocket. Any number of different things. You can also have it at your workspace. And people say, oh, that's a really cute little bear you have. But maybe for you, you want to embody some of the attributes of strengths of the bear.
Uh-huh.
And maybe keep that with you in your workplace for whatever reason. That's where these little stone animals can also be really helpful. So you can certainly make your own stuff, and you can make them out of a variety of different things.
Yeah.
One other thing you can do to make a simple talisman, if you want a symbol on one side and maybe just a word or two on the other, you can also use something as simple as river rocks.
Yeah. Just use a Sharpie or something or whatever.
Yeah.
Write a symbol or a word or something on it. Yeah.
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 And then you charge it with whatever you want that to be used for. Then you have that thing for that purpose. Now we're getting into charms. So.
Oh, another thing about talismans,
yeah,
too. There are some other schools of thought about choosing a specific stone for you to carry or to use as a talisman for yourself, and choosing a stone that associates with you, using your birthday.
Oh yeah.
And numbers.
Oh yeah,
that's
I didn't even go
yeah.
into whole that. Yeah,
yeah
that's
I mean,
a whole.
Just sort
yeah.
of a brief little dip of the toe in that one is the idea is you take your birthday, your day, month, year, and you add up the numbers, and then you start adding those numbers together to get to a single digit. Now, if you get to 22 or 11, those are master numbers, and you stop counting from there. But otherwise, you're trying to get to a single digit of your birthday. And, like, so doing the math up, mine would be a 2, and yours would be a 7. And so what does that mean? So the 2s and the 7, well, that relates to a specific stone color, color, and then you get to a stone related to that color. In this case, the idea of like a 2 would be orange. So 1 is red, 2 is orange, 3 is yellow, 4 is green, 5 is blue, 6 is indigo, 7 is violet, and it goes on 8, 9, 11, and 22. So 2 would be orange, which relates to orange stones, relate to close relationships, personal satisfaction, like citrine, carnelian, and orange sapphire. So theoretically for me, using an orange stone to create a talisman would work better for this in this line of thought, and for yours to be violet, which would be like amethyst, garnet, purple ruby.
Have I ever seen purple rubies?
I haven't seen purple rubies, but I've seen amethyst and garnet for sure.
Yeah, I know the carundum. Carundum is the stone that is ruby. Yeah. They're not as common.
But the idea is to use stones that are associated that relate to you based on your number and your power number.
Right.
From your birthday kind of thing.
Right,
so
there's the numerology
other
end of it.
Yeah, it is.
And then there's the astrology end of
uh-huh.
it. And
like
not everybody, but a lot of people.
Astrological stone.
Yeah, and it can be, people usually keep it fairly basic,
uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
they'll base that on their, whatever their sun sign is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Although, there's a lot of different schools of thought on how things are astrologically, depending on the interpretation mm-hmm. and the books and the teachings and...
But the basic would be like,
yeah.
yours would be Ruby? No.
So, my, well,
Cancer.
For Cancer, I've seen Ruby
uh-huh.
and I've seen
Moonstone.
Moonstone.
Right. And for Aries, I'm an Aries, so it'd be Amethyst, or not Amethyst, but
I know Diamond is one of... I thought Diamond was one of them.
And,
I don't remember the other. But there are books, I'll tell you.
I'm blanking it. It's greenish.
Is it like something weird, like peridot?
No. And I
tourmaline?
No, that's what it is.
Topaz? No, topaz is more of a blue.
No.
Malachi? Amazonite?
Aquamarine.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Aquamarine. That's what I was, growing up and stuff, learning, Aries, so my time frame is in Aries, and that would be, aquamarine is a stone. So, but it could also be bloodstone, topaz, sapphire, jasper, or diamond. So, I guess it depends.
Well, you could go out and get yourself a big old diamond.
A diamond? Yeah.
Big old diamond?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Get a big old three-carat diamond in the earring or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
There you go, and that becomes your personal talisman.
Sure.
It would be your personal talisman for wealth, since you've got to be pretty wealthy to have a big fat diamond.
Yeah.
That big enough to put in your ear. But
there you go.
That's neither here nor there.
Uh-huh.
So. Yeah, so that's all the world of talismans. And then there's charms.
Uh-huh.
We've seen charms at its most simplistic.
Yep.
People make basic charm bags for a particular purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Again, love, prosperity, healing, maybe mental clarity, maybe helping with connecting with ancestors. Protection, banishing, keeping evil away,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, et cetera. Big old giant laundry list of things that you can tweak for a number of different purposes. At its most basic, what people tend to do is they'll use a cloth that is a particular color that is associated with that particular thing, but you certainly don't have to do it.
Like blue for healing or
protection. You could also use the simple muslin bag that are like, those little cloth bags that are reusable for like tea bags or whatever.
Yeah.
Or little bags made out of linen or felt, any number of different things.
Yep.
Or it can be whatever you have, because you don't have to really spend a buttload of extra money to go to a store to buy a piece of cloth of a particular color if you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, if you needed to, you could use an older but clean, is always a good thing, sock.
Oh, yeah. It's pouch-shaped. Cut it, hem it. Sew it together, whatever, do whatever with it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tie it up with a piece of ribbon.
There you go.
Or yarn for you fiber heads that are out there.
Uh-huh.
You put different schools of thought on it. You have a number of herbs, different schools of thought on that, usually an odd number, like 3 or 5 or 7, 9. Also, you could put a few small stones, maybe 1 or 2.
Uh-huh.
Also, put your petition. You write it small. You fold it up or roll it up, and you stick it in.
Mm-hmm.
And you charge it for that particular purpose, and you carry it with you. If you want to keep your car safe from being stolen, you can make a charm bag that is protection-based that protects your car, protects all those who are in it, keep them safe, also keep you from getting lost, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that is the most simplistic. In hoodoo, they use the term is a gree-gree bag.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a type of charm bag. Typically, the herbs and roots, they use a lot of roots. There is some overlap, but not completely. There will also be often things like bits of maybe a little bit of a small bone or bones of an animal or fur or feathers.
Yeah.
And there's the whole concept of feeding the bag to keep the power of that particular bag strong over time. So it's while there are some overlaps, there are some differences as well. Then there are charms that are, I'm going to just call them miscellaneous charms. And again, this is from the Crone's Book of Charms and Spells. And she's got a bunch. And I've used some of these over the years. Exactly, Kitty. Oh, here's a good one. A charm to bind an enemy.
Yeah.
And there's different philosophies and schools of thought on the concept of binding, that if you do a binding on an enemy, then when you perform the binding, you are binding yourself to that enemy. Other people don't feel that way. So I'm just putting that out there. So you take an old kind of ratty piece of black cloth, and from every corner of your house, take every cobweb and then collect them all.
Yep.
Place them in the center of the cloth. Procure a dead fly. Set it down upon the mass of the webs. And then these words should be written down on paper. North, south, east, west, spider's web shall bind him best. East, west, north, south, hold his limbs and stop his mouth. Seal his eyes and choke his breath. Wrap him round with ropes of death. Then you fold up the paper four times. You wrap it up along with the dead fly and the cobwebs and the black cloth, forming a small bag. This should then be bound up with the end of a long cord and suspended from a hook in some dark corner of the house. A basement would probably be a really good place for that. Do not disturb it, but let it hang until it is thickly covered with dust. And then once it is, you can take it outside and bury it in the earth to work its influence in perpetual secrecy. Boom.
And that's a charm.
That is a charm. There's also a charms for fertility. And some of these are easier. Some of them are kind of hard to do, to get. At the heart of charms is sympathetic magic. So you work with elements of the earth, like stones, herbs, roots, maybe also things that might be associated with that aspect you need
to work with,
to be empowered, and you associate those things with whatever it is you want to manifest. I mean, that's really at its most simple. And here's a good example of something that is also a charm. This is a charm for a renewal of the spirit.
Oh, that could be useful.
Yes. This shall be done in winter, when leaves are dead and the spirit dark.
What about now?
Yeah. Now, this is where it can be kind of a little bit difficult, but I think this can be easily modified. Bring home from a willow tree that stands by frozen water 12 live wands. Stand them in a vessel of water and feed them with new water every morning until their leaves are born anew from the dormant buds. While these are soft and of a pale green, strip them all from the twigs and with a pestle in a mortar, pound them to a paste. Spread this out in a shallow dish set at a sunny window. And when the paste is dry, powder it in the same mortar where it was first prepared. Add some sweet... Yeah, that's some complicated...
This is complicated.
I know. Add some sweet scented oil, a few drops to this dust, and then at night, burn it as an offering before 12 yellow candles. While it burns, say this: all that was dead is not dead. All that was dark is not dark. The spirit is a fire. The spirit is eternal. The spirit is one spirit, the spirit of all spirits. And that one holds the fire of the cosmos. Breathe here now, and so shall the cosmos breathe. And of its own breath shall the cosmos be made anew. So then you save the ashes of the incense in a small wooden box. You tie it with threads of gold, and then you keep it always near as a charm to invoke the influences of the foregoing ceremony all year long. So it definitely takes some prep work.
Yeah.
Of course, not everybody has willow trees living near them, but I think you could probably modify this with other things that are good for renewal of spirit.
Right.
That's
kind of complicated, though, but that makes a charm.
It makes a charm. So sometimes they can be quickly made. Sometimes they do take time. Here's another one. It's a little bit dark as well. A charm to win control over another. So there's one. A charm to gain wealth. Now, you can get this, but it's not always, we don't always buy a hen with the feet still attached. You could, if you needed to.
Right, so this is where this is the hoodoo stuff, more like you're using more natural things. And
so it would seem.
Yeah.
But then within this, it's interesting, within this same book, though, she has things of Enochian magic and invocations in Latin and a host of other things.
Right.
So it's really kind of interesting. On a similar vein, in one of Scott Cunningham's old books, I think it's Earth, Air, Fire, Water, he talks about making different kinds of things where you use a basic symbol and a color associated with that thing.
Uh-huh.
And maybe a stone or two associated with that thing, maybe also an herb or a few associated with that thing, and that also allows you to create a charm. So you can do things fairly simplistic with something as simple as a few objects, drawing a symbol that's associated with that particular thing, and or drawing a symbol maybe of the zodiac, because there's all the different astrological symbols that are associated with people's particular sun signs as well. So that also is another way of making charms.
Okay.
So they can be more complicated, they can be less complicated. You can put charms in bags, you can put charms in small boxes and then tie them up and bury them. If it's something that is an aspect or a thing you need either protection from, like to protect your home, you bury it on your property. If it is something to stop gossip.
Yeah.
And
some other classic examples of charms, too. A four-leaf clover is a charm.
Yeah.
You know, things that are lucky charms. So I was reading a story about this, a charm, a lucky charm, was a medal of St. Christopher, which is a charm that protects travelers. So this is an interesting little story I heard, too. I just kind of kicked this in real quick. The story is that during the 60s, the Navy was testing a rocket, the Vanguard rocket, and they kept having failures, and somebody said it was because they don't have a St. Christopher medal on the rocket. So they put a St. Christopher medal near a rocket, and they tested successfully. Like, see, there you go. That's why you need to have that lucky charm back in the 60s.
That's funny.
Which is kind of funny, yeah, that you know, in the 60s, you know, they're testing a rocket for the Navy, and it wasn't doing well, so somebody put a St. Christopher medal near the rocket and tested it, and it was successful. So that was a lucky charm. So you can use buttons, coins as charms, you know, so a variety of things you can use as charms. I mean, we, you know, talked about, you know, making bags and things too. So, or you could just use or it could be a button that you found.
Yeah, and we didn't even talk about basic symbols that are at its most simple, a charm. Mm-hmm. And that can be modified any number of different ways. You can wear it. You can inscribe it on something. You can put it on a charm, or you can use it with other symbols, like the pentacle, or the triple spiral, or the goddess symbol, or the green man symbol, or the tree of life symbol, or the symbol associated with certain elements, or the crescent moon symbol. There's a whole host of them.
Yeah.
And people have a wide variety of different associations with many of these. Some people wear the pentacle, or there's the Thor's hammer.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's one, too. Or the lucky hand, you know?
Yep.
That's one. The Hamsa hand.
Uh-huh.
You know?
That's been around in the Middle Eastern culture and stuff, you know, for long, long, long time.
Right. So, the symbols in and of themselves also, you can make the argument that either the symbol in and of itself, because of what it represents, has innate power, or because over time people have associated with these symbols with certain things, they have become imbued with power.
Yeah.
It really depends on your philosophy and how you see it. So you can draw that symbol on something, put it in a charm bag. you can draw it on something like a stone or a piece of paper or a piece of wood, and that becomes a talisman. You can do just a number of different things just with basic symbols.
Yeah.
So since today is, yesterday was yesterday the last day of the lunar cycle, the old lunar cycle, and this is
so,
the first day?
Yeah, I think so.
Are we at 0% or less than 1%?
Something like that. Of the moon.
Right. So it's the beginning of a lunar cycle. So this becomes a good time to start something new.
Yeah.
So.
It is right now 0%.
Yeah, so today is the new moon.
Yep. According to my moon app, it is currently 0% new moon at this moment.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah. So use this time to maybe play around with some stuff.
Yeah.
And again, we've talked about this before on previous shows. You don't have to have fancy stuff. You can use kitchen herbs. Also for your magical herbs.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to go and find something exotic from some place. You can use what's in your own cabinet and what you have at home. Now, you can even use crayons.
You can.
And you can use pencils.
Yeah.
Like colored pencils.
Doesn't matter.
So it don't matter.
Use what you got.
Use what you got. That's right.
Uh-huh.
So we hope you've had an informative
moment
here this evening, and use this as an opportunity to try some things. Do some stuff.
Uh-huh. Look some stuff up.
And find something that works for you. And, like, what we always like to do is we talk about what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
This month with other stuff and other shows. One of the things we do need to talk about is our 2-year anniversary.
Coming up.
And
Monday.
We're going to be having...
So Laura Gonzalez is going to be hosting a 2-year anniversary show on her Lunatic Mondays broadcast on next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
The 15th.
So several of us will be joining her on the show for at least a part of the time or most of the time. Selena will be there. I think she's also going to have some other guests on.
Uh-huh.
And next week, we've also got, on Tuesday, we have...
Circle Talk is Deborah Rose will be talking with Stephen Intermill. He's the curator for the Buckland Museum of Witchcraft and Magic in Ohio. They'll be talking about the museum and what's going on. She's had him on before. It's a really interesting conversation about... Buckland-related stuff that they have at the museum. See how they're doing with the pandemic and things, too.
Right.
On Wednesday, the 17th, Selena will be talking about goddesses around the Wheel of the Year, exploring goddesses and great goddess aspects associated with each of the 8 Sabbaths of the pagan Wiccan year. That's next week. On the 13th, Paganos del Mundo, Monica Gobin, this is in Spanish, she's from Argentina, and Ritual of the Zodiac.
Hey, we can figure out that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
with the element of air.
Yes.
In that one. So, let's see, there's, what else is going on? Circle Talk, Lunatic Mondays, as we said on the there'll be a special show on the 15th. I need a description to put on the website.
Shame.
Yep.
And our next show for Moon Magic will be the February full snow moon ritual.
Uh-huh.
And
Arian Rod.
Yes.
Focusing on, yeah, this year the full moons will be focusing on a specific goddess instead of like the goddess of the, you know, the goddess in general. There'll be specific goddesses, and this time it'll be focusing on working with Arian Rod.
Yes.
Rebirth.
She's also called the goddess of the silver wheel.
Oh, yeah.
And Rebirth,
okay.
It's at the end of February.
Uh-huh.
We will be on the cusp of hopefully things getting warmer. Even outside,
uh-huh.
Our little tree outside, our cherry tree, is starting to produce buds.
Uh-huh.
So it's getting ready to...
Need to get it pruned. Really fast then. Yeah. And that's about the time the crocuses will have happened.
Yep.
Around here. Yep.
So, got a lot of stuff coming up this month. So.
The full moon is on the 27th.
Yes. Again, we're doing it on the 25th because it's close
Thursday,
to.
Closest.
Yeah. So, we thank everybody for listening tonight and in the future.
Yep.
We thank everyone for listening to all of our other programming that we have, and we look forward to seeing y'all in a couple weeks.
Yep, join us.
So stay safe, stay warm, especially if you're living far up north.
Uh-huh.
And
continue to wear masks, continue social distancing, and when you can, get your vaccine.
There you go.
It's a public service statement.
So what do we want to...
Close out with Lou Guru, the magic all around us.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like it's a Lou night. Okay. So, good night.
Good night, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
All righty.
Some say the veil is ripped and torn, that the tower card has been laid down. Ground yourself, don't be afraid, because there's magic all around. There's magic all around us. The magic it surrounds us. There's magic all around us. There's magic all around. Magic isn't black or white. We're all together here tonight. Feel the power, hold on tight. Because there's magic in the air. Magic all around us. The magic it surrounds us. There's magic all around us. There's magic. panic all around us. There's magic all around. Breathe it in, breathe it in, breathe it in. Feel the power in the air. Breathe it in, breathe it in, breathe it in. There's magic in.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.